This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In for the fellas, it's Jeff Schwartz and Tom Byrne. Good to have you on this Saturday edition. Jeff, we do have some games about to get going. First, let me update you. The Rays up 8-3 on the Tigers, middle of the ninth. Yankees are putting it to the O's, 8-0 now, bottom six. Brewers up 4-0 on the Twins, bottom two. Cardinals doubling up the Reds, it's 2-1, top four, and the Cubs just scored again, so it's 6-1 here at the end of two. And so now we've got a couple games coming. We got the White Sox and the Blue Jays. We could start there. Aaron Civale, the righty, against Jose Barrios, fellow righty. I'm looking, you can lay $1.95 if you want to for Toronto. I'm almost enticed to do that with Barrios here against the White Sox team. That's not the garbage squad it was last year, Jeff, but still not a very good club. I have not put it in the account yet, but if I did have a lean one way or the other, I certainly, in this ball game that's getting going in about 5 minutes, would take Toronto before I would take the White Sox.
Well, I think especially with the way that Toronto played last night, right? I mean, you lose 7-1, you know, to a team like that. I think you would expect a little bit of a bounce back, right? So that makes sense. But the White Sox, they've, even though their record is not great, they've actually played a ton of close games. Like laying the run line on them is sometimes difficult because they lost. You know, they won last night, they lost by two, lost by one, lost by one the other day, won the other day, 2-1. They lose. It's just, I just caution you, like it, they do cover that run line a lot, even though they lose a bunch, which is kind of odd, but that's the way they seem to work.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Civale, I'm looking at some of his numbers. It's not good, but he's not horrific either. Is Scooter Active ranked this year? Scooter Active ERA, of course, 176. Barrios is 114. Over the last 30 days, both are in the fours. Again, I don't know if this screams Toronto to me. I'd have to look at what the pitching prop numbers look like. I got Barrios at 5.5 Ks in the game. Civale, 3-3. So if you get under 3.5, maybe that'd have an interest there. I imagine, no, it's probably 4.5. It's probably 3.5, part of me. If you get 4.5, I would like it. But that game coming up here in just a minute. We also then later next hour have Rangers and Pirates. That's Kumar Rocker, Mitch Keller, the right-hander for the Buccos. This Pirates team, by the way, Jeff, oh, my God, I feel bad. This is a franchise, Mazeroski, the We Are the Family Pirates. They just don't spend. They got a beautiful ballpark. It really is a shame. Skeens is going to leave them before too long. Rocker, Keller, lean one way or the other?
Both pitchers are not great. Rockers, you know, ERA over 7. Pirates are just not good. I mean, I probably would lean Rangers minus 105. Don't love it, but I just wouldn't bet on the Pirates much or very often.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I made this the same number it's currently at. I see 101 in an exchange. I made it an even dollar both sides in a full game, so I'm not really seeing much here as far as any, you know, values concerned. Rocker's been pretty decent this year. 3.85 is going to act the ERA. Keller's at a 4.12, so both are in the top 100. You know, you got to like the bullpen situation for Texas a little better than Pittsburgh's, but the number at what it is, to me, is not all that playable. All right, we've been on top of this one. Let's do it again. Red Sox, Giants. That's a Bello versus Roop performance. I think it's Roop. Yeah, for the Giants, it sure is. Battle of righties. We have touched on this to an extent. We talked about potentially getting involved with some Devers props. I made the game $1.32. San Francisco favorite. It's at $1.11. So if I played this, I would take the Giants in the ball game. I'm pretty close to firing. I don't know if I'll get there yet. I still got another 60 minutes. I would lean Giants at home. What say you?
I mean, look, I'd love for my Giants to win, buddy, but they just have not been good teams recently. It's not something they do often. Yeah. I'd love for them to get it done today. It would be great. But they can't, they're sort of back to what they were for many years, which is just don't score a lot of runs. that's why they brought Devers in, right? That was the point of having Devers, and just has not really done very much. So that's my concern, is the fact that they just don't score enough. So they're not throwing one of their aces today or one of their better pitchers. So I would lean Boston here, if anything.
All right, how about Braves at Marlins? I'm worried about this Atlanta team. Hard not to be. We've all been concerned to an extent after that horrific beginning of the season. They get Strider back. They get Acuna back. So they got healthier. But the problem is they're looking up at two monster payrolls, Mets and Phillies. Today, Grant Holmes, Yuri Perez for the Marlins. You know, the Fish are a tough team to back. Of course, you're playing the prices, not necessarily the club. Let me get you the updated numbers here. Atlanta, you could find $1.51. You got a late, of course. Marlins on the comeback plus $1.46.
Yeah, the Braves looking right now. The Braves are 12-25 this year on the road. Feels like that's not great, right? You know, Perez doesn't have. I'm looking for outs recorded. He doesn't throw a lot. It's only his third start of the year. Gone 4 innings and 3 innings. No strikeouts against the Nationals last time out. 5 against Pittsburgh. Maybe, you know, an under strikeouts. We have it right here at 4.5 would possibly apply. Just thinking he doesn't pitch very much. So you're getting basically, you know, over a strikeout an inning, I guess, is what you would need here. So maybe that's the way I look at it. I don't have a strong play on it, but if I need something, that's maybe how it would look.
Yeah, I don't have a play in this game either. If I played something, I'd probably take the over 8.5. In fact, I'm seeing an exchange offering a plus 104 on over 8.5. I might be able to get there if you wanted to play a total, have some fun with that. I mean, that's pretty good for context. Pinnacle's offering over 8.5 for $1.07. Bookmaker over 8.5, $1.08. An exchange is offering plus 104. That right there is a pretty good sign that might be a plus EV play if you want to get involved. Still about 60 minutes until the first pitch. Now, those are the games coming up. Let me take a step back and look at the big picture with you for a moment here, Jeff. Let's do the AL. The AL is not as good as the NL. It's funny how it worked out, because if you remember opening day, people were getting on the Yankees. Oh, Stanton's going to be out for some time. He's since returned, of course, but no Gerrit Cole. They might be in trouble. The Red Sox were a trendy pick, which I never bought into. So here we are almost at the halfway point. Yankees haven't really been all that disappointing. Now's not the time to wave the pom-poms because they've struggled of late, outside of today, of course. But are you looking at the New York Yankees as the team to beat here clearly in the AL?
Probably, just because look at the other teams, right? So I think we look at the Tigers. They've lost 3 in a row. They're 18 over 500. And do we totally believe in them? I would say no, right? The rest of the AL Central doesn't feel very strong. Houston is doing Houston things, but pitching is a question mark, right? But that big question mark come the postseason. So I do trust the Yankees. That the Rays, the Rays are one game back. I don't, maybe. The Rays are one of those teams where it seems like every year they're sort of pesky, and then they just, postseason comes, they're just really a paper tiger, right? So probably Yankees are bust at the moment, even though they haven't had a great last 10, 12 days. But I still go Yankees, I think, if I had to pick someone to win right now.
Yeah, we're showing you on our graphic here, Yankees plus 265, Tigers plus 300. If you have to take one of those two, I think you easily take the Yankees. I don't like playing the Yankees because I love rooting against the Yankees, but that would be the value play. You mentioned the Astros. The pitching does concern me to an extent outside of Hunter Brown, who's outstanding and pitched well again yesterday. Mariners 11-1. I can't get there. Rays are the most well-run organization inside the front office and all the sport, maybe all sports, with that minuscule payroll. Can't get there. Toronto 14-1. I can't do it. You know, Minnesota 17-1. Okay, there might be decent value there, but are they really going to get home? I'm not so sure about that. And the Red Sox, you want to buy the dip after they get rid of Devers, are 19-1. Hey guys, before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sports books or full-time professional bettors on your own. But with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the sharp plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email or X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out right now at SharpPlays.com. All right, so let's get us updated here on the Jeff Schwartz WNBA plays. Loser on your Baltimore and New York first five under. I'm hoping you got there with Sabali. Is the game going final? Did you get there or no?
No, because they didn't play the entire fourth quarter. So not great when you win by 50. So no, I didn't get there because, I mean, I pegged it right. She was 7 of 9, I think, shooting 6 of 8. Like, I thought she would play better, and she did play better, and then didn't play because of foul trouble, and then didn't play the fourth quarter. So what are you going to do? 107-86 Phoenix win. I do have a lot of money on the Sky to go under 19.5 wins. So I every loss they have is makes it a little bit better in my book there. But yeah, a lot of they hit Mercury at 17 threes today. I mean, Sabali was 5 of 7, 2 for 3 for 3. I mean, I was right on line. She only played 18 minutes. She played the least amount of minutes of any starter. Yeah. So, but I just didn't get home because of the blowout, which I mean, that's life. So, unfortunately, when you play overs, blowouts are the death of you. They're just going to kill you every time.
100%. And I imagine Cardoso, then we talked about her prop. She was at 17 at the break. It was only 21.5. We were enticed, but not so much to put it in. Thank God we didn't. She didn't get there, I'm guessing.
She had 17 points for the game. Yeah.
Yeah. So she finished with a donut in the second half. How about that?
I just tell you, the WNBA thing, it's hard because, like, you just have these, it doesn't happen much in as much in NBA. It doesn't feel like it happens much in NBA. We're just like, you're on the right path, and then the game just is this game, and everyone just sits. So, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating, but it is what it is. You move on. I have the Cubs here over 6.5 runs. So hopefully I get one win while we're talking today. They have 6 right now in the third inning. They have a double start, the bottom of third, Crow Armstrong with a double. So hopefully we get one more run. I get one win.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's go. College World Series talk. Jeff Schwartz, Tom Byrne with you. We're going to welcome in Ben Wilson. He knows a little something about Coastal Carolina LSU. That'll be 7 Eastern time, best of 3, game 1. Ben, I see you like the under in the game. Set us up, though, for us novices who haven't been on top of it as much as we have the shot contest, of course, at the bar, where you guys did a great job, by the way, at VSiN. And I don't think LSU is going to get to the all-time record of 65,000 or whatever it was. But if you could set us up for tonight, what our expectations are. Are these lines fair? Let's start with the total and get to the money line as well.
Great to be back on with you. And really the story for Coastal Carolina, who are the underdogs, and they should be the underdogs in this series against LSU, but they've been able to defy the odds pretty much at every level. What's kind of crazy to think about is that in this particular tournament, you have 16 number one seeds who host a 4-team regional. And we've had odds on all those regionals. Coastal Carolina was the only number one seed. Keep in mind, if you're a number one seed, you're getting to host games in your home ballpark, which is a huge advantage in college baseball. Coastal was the only number one seed who was not favored. They were plus 130. They were the second favorites to Florida in their own regional. And they came out of that. Not only did they win the regional, but they won 3 straight games and looked really convincing doing it. They were, of the 2 teams still left, they were the only team that was an underdog in the super regional, which is a best of 3 game series that pits 8 series between the final 16 teams to set our field of 8 for Omaha. And they took out Auburn in back-to-back games on the road down in Alabama. So it's a Coastal team that is now, I think, starting to get the market respect, guys. The money has come in on Coastal. They opened, I should say LSU opened more in the minus 190 range to win the series. That's come down more to like minus 165 or so. And especially with the way Coastal has gone through 2 really good SEC teams, I don't think there's much of a fear for the Chanticleers about this. It's not really a step up in class for them anymore. Taking on an LSU team that certainly is better by all accounts, is deeper, has better top-end starting pitching. But there's a reason, guys, why we're seeing some of the money come in here on Coastal Carolina. And specifically for the total, What's amazing in college baseball is you generally see the offense take precedent, right? It's an aluminum bat sport, a lot of bandbox ballparks. Well, Coastal Carolina, of the 9 pitchers this year, guys, who pitched at least 20 innings, 8 of them have a sub-350 ERA, which is pretty unheard of in college baseball. You might have a couple guys who are, you know, who are really, really good potential pro arms, but not 8 of them. And the 9th guy, by the way, has a 351 ERA. So basically everybody Coastal throws is a legit pitching option, which you can't say about every team. And that's why they're actually not throwing their ace tonight. So Coastal's throwing kind of a secondary starting pitcher option. They are going to go all out, use this as a bullpen game most likely. And I do like their chances to at least keep this close. The problem in game one is you have Kate Anderson, who's arguably the best pitcher in the country, going for LSU. So you combine those two factors, guys. And for game one, I really like the under at 8.5. I believe DraftKings is the only book still hanging that. Yeah, the lay -130 pretty much everywhere has gone to 8, but I'd still play the under 8.5 when you combine really good pitching depth, who is fresh for Coastal, plus probably the best arm right now going, and Kate Anderson, who just gave up 1 run in 7 innings in the Arkansas start a couple days ago.
Ben, that was a very thorough intro. I appreciate that. You know, if people look at this matchup that are new to college baseball, they say Coastal Carolina, LSU, and college football, we'd be all over LSU, right? College basketball, all over LSU. Yeah. Can you explain why college baseball is different, right? Where at Coastal, that's won a championship before, right? I believe I'm right on that. Like the Oregon States, right? Like those teams can be competitive in these atmospheres. So just don't lay the money in LSU because they're a bigger brand.
No, 100%. And it's a great question, Jeff. I think a lot of people, especially now in the transfer portal NIL era, were kind of assuming, yeah, wouldn't this just follow what happened in college basketball? And we just saw in March Madness where all the number one seeds advanced and it was just chalk city. To me, in college baseball and for covering a lot of these teams, calling a lot of the games, the talent pool is just so much deeper that there are so many different mid-major schools that produce top-end talent year in and year out. It's not as simple as just, you know, there's a certain level of talent that takes up the Power Four conferences and that's it. And then there's a huge drop off. There is so much more to go around. And what often happens is you see guys who started a big time school like an LSU, like in Arkansas, but they're on the bench. They don't necessarily get the playing time. They're in it's a stacked order, stacked rotation, stacked bullpen, what have you. So they go to more of a mid-major, like a Coastal. We've seen this happen with Fresno State in years past, who make the Cinderella runs. And I think it's more likely that you'll see teams like that continue to be competitive, even in the NIL portal era, where it's not necessarily the same dynamic because of that overall depth, Jeff. So that's why you're seeing a team like Coastal win 26 straight games and knock out 2 different SEC teams on their road to the Final Eight. And also sit here with the pitching staff that is so solid top to bottom. And it also helps too. Like they've got arguably the best catcher in the country who I've seen in a lot of mocks going, mid to late first round now in Caden Bodine. So that really helps when you've got an anchor, kind of a captain of your team who you're able to keep in the program and who can do so much for you both offensively and also calling pitches for your staff.
Joining us now, the Progressive guest line, of course, Ben Wilson, VSiN host and analyst, play-by-play broadcaster extraordinaire as well. Jeff Schwartz and Tom Byrne with you, ready, set, bet. All right, so you like the under 8.5 for game one. I do want to get your take here, Ben, though, on the biggest story in sports. We got a game 7 on tap tomorrow, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific time. Number down to 7.5 in most spots. I even saw 6.5 pop up, juice to $1.20. So money clearly coming in on the underdog. Did the Pacers, in your estimation, finish off what to me would be the most unpredictable run in the history of the sport? Or are you going to go with the favorite here in OKC?
Look, I definitely am at the point now where no result would shock me. Guys, yeah. It kind of feels like a game where you take Indiana first half here. And, you're in a spot where you can catch, even as this number continues to come down, like you can still grab a, 3.5 in the first half with Indiana. It has all the classic feel because of the defensive intensity, the way Indiana has been able to ratchet up so consistently where, you went into the series, guys, you probably would have thought, okay, the game's Indiana wins. They'd likely have to dictate pace. They'd be going faster. They'd be getting a lot more open looks and they'd be able to outscore OKC. Well, what have we seen? The 3 Indiana wins, the games have all gone under. And that's what we're now seeing. The market has really come down to the under here, not only because of the trend and the situation in game 7, but because of Indiana's ability to, I think, shock all of us, Tom, in the defensive category here. So I expect Game 7 to play similarly, where this is a super tight start. Got to think OKC comes out. We saw how nervy and tight they were in Game 6. You wonder if the same factors are at play there early. So I would look at Indiana early in the game. Certainly would jump on the under two if you haven't done so already. I only see that continuing to go down. That might get to 213 or 212 and a half by the time we actually get to tip in a little more than 24 hours. But when you look at the advanced numbers on the series so far, OKC is what, at 110 an offensive rating? Indiana's at 109. If you looked at those numbers in the regular season, that would be basically on par with like a Utah Jazz New Orleans Pelicans series. So it shows you just how good the defenses have been respectively. And the most surprising part is how Indiana's been able to do that. That's where for me, like, could we see a fourth quarter where this is a super tight, kind of gritty, grinded out game, and OKC gets a late run and they win by like 9? Wouldn't surprise me at all. So I don't know that I think I'd rather go either just straight up Indiana money line, or I'd rather just go first half. And I think to me, based on the numbers, the first half bet's probably the best way to go.
So you're still comfortable taking the under, even though we know Game 7 unders are played a lot and the total is much lower than we've seen for other games so far this series?
Yeah, no, and it's a good point. I mean, compared to where the total was at Game 1, right, it was 230. And right. So, yes, the unders hit 4 of the 6 games, but if you were sitting here with a 214.5 number, the over would have hit 5 of the 6 games. So, price point does matter. I just wonder on the OKC. So we see OKC have their worst offensive performance by a wide margin throughout not only the playoffs, but the entire regular season there in Game 6. I'm not sure how confident I am in that necessarily, like just because they're going home, just because role players tend to play better at home. I don't think that's a guarantee, Jeff. It automatically just bounces back up to their regular season number. What I do believe in for OKC is, like, they were really kind of shockingly just laissez-faire setting up their pressure defensively. Like, there was no ball pressure on the perimeter. I got to think from Mark Daigneault's point of view, it's hey, let's get more active into the passing lanes. We can't allow Indiana to get comfortable in their sets, because they really weren't able to force any live ball turnovers. And that's really what's precipitated so much success here for OKC. So I see it being more OKC ratchets things up on defense. Maybe, you certainly don't expect them to be as bad on offense, but that's why it's fair. I get why the lines come down this much. And that's why probably isolating the first half is most likely, at least in my point of view, the better way to play it. But it's a good point, Jeff. We're talking a 15-point adjustment here from Game 1.
Yeah, they didn't force a single live ball turnover until deep into the third quarter. Great job, Ben Wilson. When we come back, we'll preview the late MLB card with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In for Matt and Mike, you got Jeff Schwartz, Tom Byrne. Always good to have you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, so Toronto has just scored. They're up 1-0 on the White Sox. We'll keep an eye on all these games. Still 2-1 Cardinals over the Reds. Cubs are whooping the Mariners 9-1 top 4. Brewers up 4-0 top 5 over the Twins on the road. Yanks 9-0 over the O's in the Bronx, end of 7. And they're going to the bottom. No, that game's going to be over, isn't it? Because they just got the final out. So that'll do it. The Rays are going to beat the Tigers 8-3. A little concerned about that Tiger team right now. I wouldn't say, shocked that they're struggling a little bit, because I did think regression was due, but they're not playing their best baseball at the moment. All right, let's look at the night card as far as the Major League Baseball is concerned here, Jeff. Let's do Mets at Phillies. Griffin Cannon, the righty, against Mick Abel, right-hander for the Phillies. Young kids looked pretty good. Outside of one start, he's been excellent for the Phillies thus far. He's really pitched well, and the Mets are reeling right now. The number plus 100 on the Phillies side, you got to lay $1.12 on the Mets side. All right, so the total is a 10, I believe. You want to go over $1.05, under $1.15. It's a big game, obviously, in division. The Mets haven't won seemingly in 2 weeks, and the Phillies all of a sudden have a game lead. This is at Citizens Bank Park. Should be a wild atmosphere. I don't have a play one way or the other in this game. I think it's pretty properly priced. Would you lean Phillies, or would you lean with the Mets, maybe get it off the schneid?
I think I like the under better than anything else with the pitching matchup. What do you have? What do you make this at?
Let me for this look game. That up
I'll
right
put
now.
I'll put question. You on the spot. But I like the under with the pitching matchup, and just both teams have not hit very well recently. So obviously, you know, you don't want to always play the trends like that, but I think that makes a lot of sense considering who's pitching and kind of both teams struggling offensively as of late. So that's what I'm looking at in this game. I haven't played it, but if you need me to make a wager, that would be the wager.
Yeah, I made it $1.08 Phillies. So there's just not enough value to take either side. And the total I made, I have it 9.73. So there you go. I guess the slightest lean to the under, but not really. So I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other in this game. As a Philly fan, I always like beating the Mets. So I'll be involved from a fan standpoint in the game, but not from a sports betting standpoint at this point. All right, Royals, Padres. By the way, Aaron Hauterman did like the Phillies in that game. He was even willing to lay $1.15 for what it's worth. Royals at Padres, that'll be 7:15 Eastern, 4:15 Pacific. Noah Cameron, the lefty. Dylan Cease, the righty for the Padres. So obviously, you're going to have to lay the juice here from the San Diego perspective. Let me get you the latest number. If you want to take San Diego, by the way, in a run line, you could lay $1.50 and get plus 145 if you want to go that route. The money line is going to cost you a little bit. You're going to have to lay $1.50. Kansas City and the comeback, best price I'm seeing, plus 140. The total is 7.5. It's a low total with Cease on the mound. Do you have a play here?
I don't have much for this other than hoping the Padres lose. That's about it for the Giants. That's I have a Dodgers Giants 1-2 finish in the NL West at like 7-1. So I'm hoping that holds true. So I need as many Padres losses as I can get to make that happen.
Yeah, I think this is fairly priced. If I had to gun to my head, I'd probably take plus 140 on the Royals. But again, Cease, I just don't think there's enough there. Maybe I could look at a K prop. I didn't handicap the K props as closely as I typically would today. Just didn't have time. We were talking, both of us with the kids. You can't handicap as much as you like. I'd have to see what the Cease props look like. I know Corey, though, is taking A+. Don't forget, he did that in our Bet the Cycle. So let's hope that Dylan Cease, the right-hander, has a big game today. D-backs at Rockies. Merrill Kelly's your right-hander versus Carson Palmquist, the lefty for the Rockies. I am going to lay $2 here in the first five for Arizona. Now, that ship has sailed. I don't believe you could find that price anymore. This Rocky team is pretty easy to fade, especially when you get Merrill Kelly on your side. This is a 9:10 Eastern time start, 6:10 Pacific. Kelly is, you know, quietly one of the better pitchers out there. If you look at his Skiller Active rank, Skiller Active ERA is 31st. Yeah. I thought he actually might be a little better. 3.44 on the season, 3.72 in the last 365, though, for context. We haven't seen a lot of Palmquist, but in his 26 2/3 innings, he has really struggled with a 5.89 Skiller Active ERA. I'll take him first five. I had no issue laying the $2 here, Jeff. Yeah.
So a wager I've made every Rockies home game this season is the team total over for their opponent. Gets pricey at times. When I looked earlier today, you know, over 6.5 was minus 140. Over 7.5 was plus 105, plus 100. The Rockies just allow a ton of runs at home. They have all season. Now, we'll give them credit, though. Their bullpen's not bad. So you have to try to get the runs early, right? Like their bullpen can do a decent enough job holding teams down, especially on the road when it's, you know, the ball's not flying out of Colorado, but they're allowing an average of 7.7 runs per game at home during the season. They're just not good. And Arizona can hit and score. I will say I looked at a Diamondbacks run line minus 1.5 and a Dodgers run line against the Nationals at minus 1.5, put together about 2-1. Dodgers won last night 6-5, but I think we're up 6-1 before some late runs by the Nationals, who stink. I mean, they almost got swept by the Rockies, and they lost, I think, 7, 8, 9 games in a row. So, but yeah, Arizona's better than Colorado. By the way, Tom, I have this wager. I'll tell you this. We'll talk this through. We've got time. I took Rockies under 9.5 wins for the month of May. Okay. Or 9.5 wins for the month of May. I don't feel great about it because, I'll tell you why, they swept the Marlins at the beginning of the month. Not only that, the Marlins were like 3-for-30 with runners in scoring position over the three games. Then They stole a game against my Giants when the Giants blew a 3-run lead in the ninth inning. Not great. They stole one in Atlanta as well, and then won 3 of 4 in Washington. So I think they have 8 wins. I think that's right. So what, 8? They got 8 wins right now. I can only afford one more win. So it's Diamondbacks 2 more, 3 against LA at home, 3 at Milwaukee. I think I might be okay, but once I get that 9th win, I'll just take their money line, you know, and just sort of break even, I hope. But yeah. I don't know, man. I felt like it was a great wager. I was like 9.5 wins. They've won 8 games so far this season. But that Giants one, that was a crusher, man. Giants were up 7-4.
That hurt. Yeah,
and I didn't give them 4 runs.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing. You said month May, of June. I'd be confused. Yes, month I of got June. You with the tune. So you got 2 more to play with. Hey, guys, want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Grab our football special, the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert host and guest, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss this early bird deal at thevsin.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. All right, a little later on, Guardians and A's. We have Luis Ortiz. I believe it's Logan Allen, though. There was some confusion on who the starter was going to be last night. I originally handicapped it with Ortiz. Later on, it was Allen against Mitch Spence, righty versus righty. Whether it was Ortiz or Allen, frankly, I knew I was going to be on the A's in the game, which I am, first 5 and full game, as we've already discussed. I'm on a lousy number full game, last I checked, plus 113. I'm on a good number, first 5, laid $1.05 in the battle of the right-handers against the Guardians. Anything that you like here? The total is 9.5.
I have nothing in this game. There was a time at the beginning of the season when just the over in Sacramento was a good wager, just sort of every game, because the ball was flying out of that park. Yeah. The A's don't even have a city associated with them. Like, come on, it's just such a bad look for baseball. I mean, no one in the end is going to watch or not watch because of it. But they don't have a city. They're just the Athletics. It's so sad for baseball. It's such an embarrassment to watch a highlight from two nights ago. They had a walk off win, and it looks like, you know, like you're playing a double A game. It's just, you know, it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, they had 5 titles in Philadelphia alone, won 3 more in Oakland. You're talking about a franchise that has 8 championships and they don't have a home. It's just absolutely absurd. All right, so that brings us to the final 2 games here. 2 more in the night card. Nats at Dodgers, Jake Irvin, Dustin May, the righties. I would take a look at the Jake Irvin over his K prop if you want to have some fun with that. Last I checked, you get over 3.5 plus $1.28. And you also have the Astros and Angels. That's Brandon Walter, the young lefty, against Jose Soriano, pardon me. I would think that it's Houston or nothing if you're going to play a side in these 2 games. It'd be maybe the Astros. I just don't love pitching guys who haven't had at least 20 innings under their belt. So I don't have a play. Quickly to you, Jeff.
Well, except if you're the Brewers starter last night who has pitched, 7 innings, 12 innings in Major League Baseball and allowed one whole hit.
Ridiculous.
Other than him, yes, I agree with you. Backing a young pitcher is difficult.
No question. All right, straight ahead, we'll recap our best bets of the day. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom Byrne. It's Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Jeff Schwartz, I'm Tom Byrne, filling in for the guys, rehashing our best bets here. Jeff, we just talked about a couple of them on tonight's MLB card for me. I like Oakland in the first 5. I laid $1.05. Actually, I split it. I laid $1 that got limited. Then I laid $1.05. I still see $1.06 available out there. Full game, I took plus 113. I'm on a lousy number. You could get plus 121. I love that play for Oakland. I was on them last night. I'm going to ride them again tonight against Cleveland. And again, Arizona first five. I'm seeing it's 225 now. I don't know if I go that far, to be frank. I got it at $2. I'd be a little careful with that one at this point. So there are the three plays for me, MLB card.
Yeah.
You're making me want to get into the WNBA card. I kind of go in and out of the WNBA, which is not the right way to do it. If you're going to handicap something, you should be involved in that market on a nightly basis, trying to get in on the overnight prices. Maybe I'll dip in tonight because you got me thinking about it. I know you might have a WNBA play up your sleeve.
Yeah. For the Diamondbacks, would you take like an over 6.5 and the first five innings together? Is that something you ever do, or that's not worth it? If it's too pricey, maybe add an addition on there. And it comes out to minus 110 over 6.5.
Sort of thing, but I would think about it. You know, I mean, listen, if it's a plus EV play, if I look at it that way, I certainly would think about it. I liked what you said, though, how you're basically doing it every game. I imagine you're on the plus side if you're continuing to do it.
I'm very much on the plus side. My spreadsheet's a couple weeks behind right now. Again, I've said this before, I think it's important to track your plays, but I'm doing well. It's been good. They had a stretch for a little bit. So what I did, you have to adjust things as time goes, right? Like I played every game to start the season. And then on the road, it's like, okay, the teams are playing aren't scoring as much on the road. So I sort of cut off the road, right? I'm like, no more on the road, just stick to home games. And that's been better, right? Because they had a stretch again where they were on the road and teams weren't scoring as much. And I just play the games at home. And again, like I said, it's Arizona, then Los Angeles to end the month. I feel comfortable. And look, 7.5 is a lot of runs. So you play 6.5 or 5.5 in the money line of the Dodgers or Arizona if you feel like that's – because look, if the Dodgers or Arizona score – over 6.5 or 7 runs, they're probably going to win most games. So those are kind of correlated together. So that's how I look at that. WNBA tonight, Collier looks like she's out for Minnesota, who right now is the favorite doing the MVP. She's fantastic. So maybe look at some other wagers for Smith to go over, who's going to pick up more minutes and more shots with Collier out, who's the other forward. So maybe look in that direction for Smith to have a bigger night. With Nafisa out tonight, she's been a baller, almost 25 points a game, and eight rebounds and nearly four assists. So MVP right now, a leader for MVP. Collier probably out for the Lynx tonight.
And Kelsey Plum, that's who they're playing tonight, right? The LA Sparks. I think Plum is available. Yeah. I'm seeing here. Odyssey Sims is out.
Yeah. Plum is a good wager. She's been kicking butt this year. She's a good wager. Even though, again, like she's been a lot of the offense for the Sparks, she still gets her shot off. She's a high usage player. She's shooting the ball a bunch and a big part of what they do. She's had 20, 13, 24, 11, 15, good amount of assists every night. So this is one of those games where I guess Collier is not playing, so it looks a little bit different, but the Lynx should be fine without her tonight. It's still 8.5, still a high number without their best player.
I'm shaking my head, Jeff, because I should have just fired. I was disciplined and I didn't, but Toronto already up 4-0 on those pathetic White Sox.
Yeah.
Middle of the third. I should have thought about it too. With Barrios, laid the juice, you know, and we should have done that. Oh, well, Cubs 9-3, top 5. They're beating up Seattle. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We had a guest on earlier. It was like on that was on them too. And I was like, run line, I was going to do it. And because last year, I've thought this before, I wagered last year, I faded the White Sox again on the run line every single game last season. It was fantastic. It was, I got on early. I was 85 and 57 last season doing that. I talked about it all year. I did it every single game. And this year I stopped because they've been a lot better this year. But again, they have their games when they have stickers. And yesterday, 3-1. It felt like a good time to be 7-1. It felt like a good time to jump on the Blue Jays today.
Yeah, I should have done it. My numbers told me to do it, and I didn't. But Cubs 9-3, Cardinals 2-1 up on the Reds. That one's in the middle of the sixth. Brewers are up in Minnesota 4-0 now, bottom six. Yankees are about to put the finishing touches on the O's. It's 9-0 there. And of course, you already know the Rays took care of the Tigers. 8-3. So keep in mind, this is all we're going to have as far as the major sports are concerned soon enough, Jeff. Thank God we got at least one basketball game left tomorrow. We'll do more on that in just a moment. First, though, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit to play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Now, you and I will be on tomorrow in for Matt and Mike again. So we'll have time. But you know this. The wise bettor gets in on numbers early. It's not even early anymore, but it's still over 24 hours away. Money line, latest I'm seeing, Thunder lay 260, plus 260 comeback I'm seeing on Indiana. The spread, we've been on top of that. You could get plus 7.5 with Indiana. Right now I'm seeing that in exchange for an even dollar. If you had to play this game, is that what you're doing? You're just taking the underdog and putting faith on the Pacers here?
So 7.5, I think this is right. This is the lowest number Oklahoma State's been favored any game at home this entire postseason. It's been 9.5, 8.5, 10.5, obviously more than that. And they won game two by covering this number, right? They won game four, I think, by covering this number, and they won game five covering. I believe I'm right. Like this number here, right? They've covered in their wins. And that's my thing is like, if you think they're going to win at 7.5, I think you take it. If you like the Pacers, you think you wait. You wait because you've been, I think, look, one way that we see the NBA play out, okay? You know this, I know this. Human emotion, right, plays a factor in the way guys play. And Oklahoma City played terribly in game six offensively. Yeah. We're worst of the season. They're back home. They've been hearing about this for 3 days now. They're going to start faster. There's a reason they have 80 wins. It's even the number one team. They had the number one plus minus in the history of the NBA this season. It's a good basketball team. They're going to come out hot in this game. You know, I think that last game we saw that they underestimated Haliburton's effectiveness, just be able to move. They just weren't prepared for that. They didn't really trap him like they have in previous games. They didn't get in his face early in a possession like that. Like, they're going to go all back to doing that. They're going to play the best defense they've played the entire series. This is going to be the best, in my opinion, the best OKC we're going to see in the first quarter. So if you like the Pacers, just wait. You'll get a better number 5 minutes into the game, 10 minutes into the game. So that's the way I view this game starting. Finishing, again, I think it's close late. Indiana will kind of generally cut into that lead, I think, as we go forward. And that's how I view the game. So I like the first quarter for the Thunder. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. But you asked me right now, I would take the 7.5 with the Thunder for full game.
Listen, if you were just dropped on planet Earth before the postseason began and you were watching this postseason, you would think it's a gift getting the Pacers and the points. Whether you look at net rating, whether you look at adjusted four factors, these teams have been pretty even throughout their postseason runs. I think the reason why Oklahoma City remains a substantial favorite, though, is because the models with the predictive Darko metrics and the predictive EPN, which I do, by the way, and I'll give you a little context. So using the Darko projected minutes, believe it or not, now this is wild. They should never be this big a favorite, but they'd be a 13-point favorite of the game. So it makes it very, very tricky in terms of how to handicap this. And then you look at the total. Typically, you want to be on an under in a game seven. But the odds makers know that as well. And so the number is so low now, it is a little tricky. Now, some old school quaints just might say, all right, I'm taking the under no matter what. But you better hope these offenses don't get a little hot. And I do think that Indiana, if they have any chance to win, is going to have to be launching a lot of threes and making about 40% of them. They have to have one of these games where they're a plus 15, plus 20 from three-point land in comparison to the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, Jeff, don't forget, our audience should stay tuned for Live Bet Saturday. They'll dive into all the live games happening right now, help you spot the best in-game betting angles as the action unfolds, followed by Catching Out with Greg Peterson at 11 p.m. Tomorrow, you can catch the VSiN Weekend Morning Line starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You and I back 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom Byrne. Thanks for listening to Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.